This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
Great things is what they drop, dog. Food chain says top dog. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. Make them scream out loud like a sound dog. Cause a ruckus in the crowd like a foul ball. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws.
Welcome to the Outlaws. This is Darby O, the Kingpin Morrow, alongside Robin O'Malley and Dante Bright. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOutlawsRadio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheOutlawsRadio. If I sound a little different again, I'm still fighting these sinuses, y'all. So I'm getting much better, though. I'm much better than I was last week. Dante, it seems like because of everything that we went through and all the paranoia, that if you even like sniffle in public, everybody looks at you and is like, do you have the Rona? I don't have the Rona, but it's like I get paranoid, man. Like, I don't even like to cough in public.
I was about to ask, did I catch the Rona through the Zoom? Science figure that out?
It's crazy, isn't it? Like how COVID has just changed our reality. So we think about stuff that we never thought of before.
Especially because, you know, we was excited to take off the masks. But like, if you in the airport now and you're not wearing your mask, nobody's wearing a mask. If somebody start coughing, you put a mask. Put a mask on.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's about to be the biggest sports weekend of the year, Cinco de Mayo. Excited.
That's right. Also, shout out, as always, to Stacey Washington. Stacey on the right. She had both of us on the show again, this time on Thursday. It was a good time. Very, very good time. So we definitely appreciate it. Robin, first of all, do you think we're ever going to go back to a world where we have no masks anywhere?
Maybe. I would say it definitely died down a lot, but you know what? Sometimes, Darvio, I'm okay with the mask. You want to know why, though?
Why?
If I have to go inside a Walmart or something, I don't want nobody to realize it's me. So, like, I'd be cool with that part. So... I'd be cool with that.
Well, Dante, we can cancel that Walmart sponsorship.
Right.
How are you, Robin?
I'm good, Darville. You know what? Actually, my kids got 3 weeks left of school, and I am so ecstatic that I do not have to fight with them in the mornings. Like, it's coming, and I cannot wait.
So tell me real quick. What is the battle like in the morning trying to get the kids to go to school?
You know, it's towards the end of the year, so they're pretty burnt out on it. Mostly my son. My daughter don't really give me too much issues. It's mostly him. Like, just making him wake up, you know, he's got to get up. And then next thing you know, he goes back to sleep. And I'm like, get out to your bed. Right. So it's getting him out of the bed is probably the biggest battle. And of course, my son likes to try to hit me with, I don't want to go to school. Can I please stay home? No. You are going to school, sir.
What grade is he in?
Christian is in the sixth grade.
Okay. That's I thought that, because that felt the same around when I was right. But I'll tell you one thing, and this, you know, this may be a trick for all of you parents as well. Like, my mother, she did a judo mind trick on me when I was in the sixth grade. Like, she got me so good. So, you know, of course, especially when you're in like sixth grade, seventh grade, every kid wants to be able to stay up past their bedtime, right? Every kid. And what my mother told me was, I don't care how late you stay up, as long as you are up at 7 or whatever it was in the morning and be on school on time and do your work. and get everything done you're supposed to. I don't care how long you stay up. Just know that at 7 o'clock, whether you went to sleep at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you're getting up. So, of course, you know, being a sixth grade boy, I was like, okay, I'm going to try this out. So I tried it out one night, stayed up way later than I should have. And of course, like clockwork, my mother came in, and my mother would do stuff like, if she was in a good mood, she would come in and sing Wake Up. If she was in a bad mood, she'd flicker the lights on, swing the door open, get up, right? So I learned very quickly. My mother gave me the room because she trusted that I was smart enough to figure this out. My mother let me learn on my own that, you know what, it's probably a good idea if I go to bed at a decent time. Because this lady is going to come in here at 7 o'clock regardless. And if I got the covers over my head, it don't matter. All the blinds is open. She going to yank that cover down. Get up. Time to get up.
You know what? My son's battle is actually 6 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What are you training him for? A life in the military?
He's got to get up because he's got to get his buzz. So... No, gotta get up, get on his job.
So the kids get out of school now in Ohio in May?
No, in June.
Oh.
Well, there are some schools that already, there are some schools that actually today was their last day.
What?
Yeah, there are some schools that are ending, I think, next week. And then my kids' schools, they don't end until the 3rd of next month.
They need to be in school all year.
Yeah, that's wild. Dante, what was your experience like getting up from school? Did you struggle? Did your mother have to fight with you?
It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Because my mom was in the military, so she wind down early. And you know me, as you could probably tell, huge sports fan, been that way my entire life. And you know, we live Eastern time zone, so you know, late playoff games, late football games, they always, you know, they don't end until 11, 12 o'clock, sometimes you're up till 1 in the morning. So, you know, my mom would be asleep. She would want me to go to bed early, but I would sneak back up and watch the games because I was cursed with the affliction of being a diehard sports fan. So mornings, I mean, you could just imagine if you up till 1 a.m. watching a baseball playoff game that's highly stressful, you know, when you're in the sixth grade, how can you wake up at 7 a.m.? You know what I'm saying? 7 a.m. ready to learn. No, it wasn't great. It wasn't great at all. And then, you know, going to private school that was like not in my neighborhood, we had to drive there. So I had to get up extra early. You know, it's like, oh, man. Then by the time high school came around, it was like, look, man, you don't want to go. You know, my mom was more so like, when you catching a bus, if you don't want to go, you can just be in high school forever. I ain't about to fight. You know, it's like, I'm not about to fight with no 16, 17 year old about getting up and going to school. You don't want to go to school, fine. You just be in high school forever then. I guess you won't graduate. It's like, oh, okay. Then we don't have to do that. I want to be 26 in high school.
I actually have one more year with my son and then he's in high school.
Yep.
So that battle, I think I'm going to hit him with that.
But you know what? It's really like that. You remember this, Doug. It's really like that in college too. Like, like, you can show up to class, not show up to class, don't bother me. I still get paid regardless. You paid me for this loan to go here.
Right. If you go to college and willfully fail, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You paid for this.
Right. Oh. Right. All right. So, man, there are so many things to talk about. We're going to start a little light here because obviously there's a big elephant in the room as far as what happened earlier this week. at the Supreme Court that Dante is going to address a little bit later in the hot takes. So we're going to start a little light here. Well, I guess it's a little, I don't even know if you could call it light, but maybe it's the light story because of how dark the news cycle is in general, right? The Dave Chappelle incident. He was, for those of you who don't know, he was performing at the Netflix Is a Joke Festival, and someone ran up on stage and attacked him. And after he did that, he proceeded to get the tar beat out of him. So many points here. First of all, this may, like, some people may not understand what I'm about to say, but I think it was a good thing that he got his ass kicked. As a matter of fact, I tweeted at Dean Kingpin, I tweeted a clip of Kevin Hart saying the same thing. Like, if you want people to stop doing this, let people start getting their ass kicked. And then somebody was like, hey, you know what? I was thinking about doing that, but now that I saw that, I'm not going to do it. Like, I think it's a good thing. I also think that people are making the intellectually lazy comparisons to the Will and Chris Rock situation, saying that this set off copycats. First of all, incidents like these have been on the rise since 2018. That's way before the Will Smith, Chris Rock incident. I also believe that this thing is different for two reasons. One, Will Smith and Chris Rock know each other. I still believe that there's more to the story that we don't know about yet when it comes to that. But also, this guy, not only was he a stranger, but he had a weapon on him. And that he had a fake gun that when you pull the trigger, a knife shoots out. That takes it to the next level for me. And dude got his ass beat. And I think it would be more of a comparison if Will Smith had went and did what he did and Chris Rock swung back. That, to me, that would make this thing a little more of an equivalent, but that's not what happened. So yeah, I mean, people are shocked by it, but like, you know, like Kevin Hart said, the guy who was interviewing it was like, oh, isn't that scary? It's like, no, it's not scary. Somebody ran on stage and got their ass kicked. Like, that's exactly what should happen. Dante.
It's exactly what should happen. And, you know, to run on stage, we talked about this on Stacey's show last night, but it's like, I've seen Dave Chappelle in person at a nightclub once in Vegas, and it was just like, oh, Dave, you know, he's not as skinny as he was when he was, you know, doing the Chappelle show. He started lifting some weights a little bit, got a little older, but it's not necessarily him, but the security he keeps, they don't really look like people you really would want to mess with. And then Busta Rhymes, they on tour together? Like, come on, man. Like, this isn't wise, basically. Like, you, the guy is lucky that all that happened to him was that his arm kind of got bent up. He's very, very lucky. So yeah, not a wise decision. Also, yeah, you should get your behind whooped. You walk up, say, Will Smith should have got his butt whooped. You know, too bad Chris Rock, to be nice, let's just say Chris Rock isn't Dave Chappelle or Busta Rhymes. And we'll just leave it there, you know, but Will should have got beat up. Like, what is wrong with you? Why do you think that you can, this person is performing, why do you think you can just walk on stage and attack him or do whatever, like, and with absolutely no consequences? That's the kind of world I think we live in. I don't know enough about this person, but I'm assuming that he's probably young. I remember, you know, when the Will Smith incident happened, how a lot of people were on Twitter talking about, like, oh, Dave Chappelle, we need to get him next, you know, because of, you know, some of his rhetoric that people didn't like. Just to quickly break this down for you. If you don't like Dave Chappelle, there's a really easy solution for that. Do not watch him. It's really simple. It's very simple. If you don't like Dave Chappelle's comedy specials, you don't have to watch them. If you don't like, I mean, I couldn't imagine paying money to go see somebody that I don't like just to run on stage and get my butt whooped and still go to prison. Like, it makes no sense to me. But that's the, I don't know. I don't want to say generation because I'm young too, but it's people. Some people are just not, they're not all there. They're just not.
Right. So real quick, Rob, before we go to you, since we had talked a little bit about the Chris Rock and Will Smith incident, I do want to point out, you know, Chris Rock cracked the joke talking about he got smacked by the softest N-word that ever rapped. No, I don't want to hear that, bro. I don't want to hear that. You didn't keep that same energy when it happened. So now, like, you let this dude punk you in front of the whole world and you took it. But now you want to, no, don't do that. No,
go to Robin because I don't even want to go to Robin. Just go to Robin because I don't even.
I say, I know you got some thoughts about that.
No, go to Robin.
Robin, your thoughts.
So about the whole Dave Chappelle thing.
Yes.
Well, how Dante said the dude got his arm a little bent up. I would definitely say it was not a little. They like literally put his arm backwards. It's like they, you know, like those Barbie dolls that you take, like the little girls or even the brothers, they just pop out the Barbie's arm and then they put it on the wrong way. That's how his arm was.
Yeah.
Like his elbow was in the front.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know, and they actually had that hand handcuffed. They had hand handcuffed to the stretcher, right? Where he gonna go? But you know what, the dude allegedly, I didn't get to read too much on it, but I did read something that was saying that he did go into court today, and that he pled not guilty, and I think he has a bond, but I did, like I said, I didn't read the full thing because it kind of like jump screens, but there's that.
Also, I want to point out how ridiculous the prosecutor in Los Angeles County, George Gascon, is. So the guy who attacked Dave Chappelle was initially arrested on attempted assault with a deadly weapon. Because once again, he had a weapon on him. He had a fake gun that if you pulled the trigger, a knife shot out, right? George Gascon decides not to charge him with a felony because he didn't use the weapon during the course of his attack. This is why there are people trying to remove this guy. This is absolutely ridiculous. He didn't use the weapon because he couldn't, because Dave Chappelle turned, so the guy didn't get the full-on tackle, and then he got his ass kicked. Like, so it wasn't that he was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go up here and I'm going to tackle Dave Chappelle, but then I'm going to be a really nice guy and I'm not going to use this weapon. He got his ass beat. That's why he wasn't able to get to the weapon. But the fact that he had the weapon on him and attacked, like, Dante.
You said it best. This is why people want to remove him. Now it's California, so they probably won't do it right, but yeah, I mean, it's utter stupidity. It's utter stupidity, right? Like you said, if he could have gotten to the weapon and used it, then what? It's like, oh, well, he didn't get to stab you, so, you know, gotta let him go. No crime here, right? No blood, no foul. But yeah, it's the California. That explains everything.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. So I'm looking at a report from the New York Post saying that Dave wanted to speak to the guy. I don't know if he did or not. Hold on, I'm just gonna read this on the air with the rest of you. And we'll all learn it together. It says, Dave Chappelle said he actually spoke to his alleged Hollywood Bowl attacker backstage after Tuesday's attack, and the wannabe rapper gave a rambling reason for why he did it, a report said. The famous comic told the crowd at a secret comedy show in Los Angeles Thursday night that he convinced security to let him approach Isaiah Lee, 23, before he was hauled away by cops, according to the Hollywood Reporter. I needed to talk to him, the 48-year-old told the crowd. Chappelle said he asked Lee why he did it, and the accused attacker launched into a story about how his grandmother had been forced out of her Brooklyn neighborhood because of gentrification, the publication reported. Oh, God. Lee's onstage attack was supposed to shed light on her situation. What? Chappelle said. The comedian said that Lee, who 2 years ago put out a rap song named after Chappelle, appeared to be mentally ill. Lee's older brother, Aaron Lee, revealed in a Rolling Stone interview Wednesday that his sibling struggles with mental illness and takes medication. He said Lee, a Brooklyn native, relocated to California when he was young after their grandmother died. Lee has been in and out of Los Angeles homeless shelters for the past decade, his brother added. The 23-year-old pleaded not for the past decade. That means when he was 13. Jeez. The 23-year-old pleaded not guilty on Friday, as Robin said earlier, to 4 misdemeanor charges after allegedly tackling Chappelle during the Tuesday show while armed with a bizarre knife that looks like a handgun. He faced court with a swollen eye and his arm in a black sling after he was roughed up by security moments after the attack. Elsewhere in Thursday's stand-up show, Chappelle quipped that he'd been smacked by a homeless guy with leaves in his hair as he joked with Chris Rock about his infamous encounter with Will Smith at this year's Oscars. At least you got smacked by someone of repute, Chappelle said to his fellow comedian. Rock hit back, I got smacked by the softest N-word that ever rapped. Now, before we go to break, Dante, are you sure you don't want to add comment to that?
I really don't want to. I really don't. I do, but I really don't want to, man. Chris, all I was just like, dude, you trying to be funny is what got you in this situation in the first place. You need to chill before you get slapped again.
On that note, stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Outlaws.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis and FCB Radio Podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real talk, real conversations. We got the heat.
Give me the real.
Hell yeah.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Uh-oh. Welcome back. Y'all didn't hear that before this started. Welcome back. You're listening to the Outlaws. Don't forget, make sure that you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. If you listen to the show on Apple, make sure you leave us a 5-star review and a comment. It's very important for the algorithm. And for those of you who have already done so, thank you also very much. So it's been confirmed now by his mom, the controversial YouTube celebrity, Kevin Samuels, has passed away. So first of all, I want to say condolences to his family, because I think a lot of people are forgetting that this is still a human being who still has people who actually care about him and love him. And the way that y'all talking about this man is just highly uncalled for. So, you know, first of all, condolences to his family. And with that being said, it kind of leads into, you know, what I want to touch on with this. Kevin Samuels was a very controversial figure. He said a lot of harsh things to women, but like Dante pointed out before the show started, and I'm sure he's going to say this here, it wasn't just women that he attacked. He came for some men as well. There was a lot of things that Kevin Samuels said that I disagreed with. There was his general approach is something I disagree with as well. I think you know, those of you, obviously you listen to the show, and if you listen to the show for a while, you kind of get an idea of not only how I think, but how I talk and the way that I try to communicate with people. I think it's very important to communicate with everybody with respect. And I don't know that Kevin Samuels always did that, but not everything. He wasn't wrong all the time either. There were some things that he said where he did kind of have a point on some of those things. But I also think it's really unfortunate to see people basically dancing on this man's grave. It's like that, have you know, like there's no decency, no shame, no nothing. Like, oh, well, Kevin Samuels said a lot of bad things and hurtful things. So now I'm going to take this opportunity now that he's dead to say all the hateful things that I can think of. It's like, how, if you thought that Kevin Samuels was trafficking in hate, which is what I've heard some people say, and then you traffic in hate on this man's grave, how does that make you any better than what you claim he is? You know what I mean? Where's your standards? Like, you can't be mad at somebody's behavior and then turn around and exhibit that exact same behavior. I think whether you like them or not, and I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, when somebody's dead, you gotta like praise them as the greatest person in the world, because I don't think you should be fake either, but it doesn't mean you dance on a person's grave. And it's just really embarrassing to see some people doing that. Dante.
It is. To the man didn't kill anybody that we know of. He wasn't a brutal dictator. He didn't, you know, he wasn't like a rapist or a criminal. So to see people dancing on his grave, it just, again, we live in a society where, you know, words is violence, you know, hate speech is violence, right? And so you have these over the top, sensitive, spoiled people who feel like any sort of criticism, whether it was delivered properly or not, is attacking to them. And so there's just a few points I want to make with Kevin Samuels. Yes, the man was definitely brash. He was in your face about it. I think some of it at least was a little bit performative as an entertainer on YouTube. But I do think some of it was, you know, hey, I'm going to be in your face with this criticism because that's what you need, right? Everybody doesn't need that. But the breakdown of the community, especially the Black community, is something that I think we've seen with this. Darvio, we talked about this. It's just like if you got older homies or your father or some uncles that are not necessarily going to talk to you politically correct, but they may chastise you verbally and just say, hey, man, you got to get your bleep together because you ain't living up to your potential. You got, you know, you ever go home with a bad report card and, your mom tell your dad or your uncle about it. And they like, man, you better than that, man. You got to get it together. He ain't going to tell you in a politically. Now, listen, I know that you can do better. No, he might cuss you out. Right. But it's coming from. But what you have to understand is it from a place of love? Does this person have my best interest at heart? And I believe when I listen to a lot of the things that Kevin Samuels said, I do believe it came from a place of he wanted people to do better, right? And so if that's the case, I am at least able to listen to the criticism and then decide whether I want to heed it or not, right? Sometimes if I don't believe the person actually cares about me, I may not even listen. But if I think that you actually have my best interest at heart, I'm at least going to hear you out and see what you had to say. And I think once we get to that part with Kevin Samuels, no, you may not have liked the delivery. You may not have even liked a lot of the things that he said, but that doesn't mean you need to internalize it either if you don't like it, right? So, you know, I hear a lot of women say, well, he said X, Y, and Z about women. If he's talking about an irresponsible woman, if he's talking about women who are sexually promiscuous, or if it don't apply, first and foremost, if it don't apply, you need to let it fly. If he says X, Y, and Z, and this person is valueless, if that don't apply to you, let it fly. Even if you are 35 and a single mother, if you know that you have value, then you can brush that off. Don't work like that. That ain't about you. Who cares, right? Because some men, like we've talked, some men really believe like, oh, if she over 30 and, you know, she ain't got a husband, well, who would? Okay, that's his opinion. Whatever, right? Like, you don't have to internalize everything. And that's just, I see this more and more with like, again, this words is violence generation, or, you know, if you, you know, we saw it with Trump, right? With, as an example, right? When Trump said some bad stuff about Omarosa, well, he's criticizing all Black women. No, he's criticizing Omarosa. You don't have to internalize everything that this man says. Just if I have a criticism about Robin, I'm not talking about all white women, right? That's absurd for somebody to even think that. So it's just, I just really hope and wish that people could get past the messenger sometimes and just focus on the message. And for a lot of what Kevin Samuels was saying, the message was on point. Now, again, a good portion of it was just like, brother, we just disagree. And that's okay, right? It's okay to sit down, have a conversation and just understand or listen to somebody who has a platform and say, I disagree with that, right? I'm not going to try to cancel the brother. I'm not going to dance on his grave. I just disagree. I'm emotionally mature enough to say, nah, I reject that. But you have a blessed day. You know, it's like, I'm okay with that. And I wish we were at that place of maturity as a community and as a country, but we are not.
Robin, your thoughts?
Well, obviously you guys know that I'm wishy-washy on the whole thing. But I feel obviously what Dante's saying, yes, that's a valid point, but a lot of, you know, there are some things that he has said that is just like, what? That, like, that sound crazy. And there were some things that, you know, definitely it wasn't even just towards, there were some things that wasn't just towards one particular person. It was towards a specific group, you know, a specific type. But, you know, as Dante was saying, you know, you can just take that and keep it pushing. I mean, and that's really how it is. Like, everybody's entitled to their own opinion about anything or anyone, and really that's all it is. As far as a lot of women, I would say that are making this out to be a joke about him dying. I mean, okay, you disagreed with, you know, everything that he said, or a lot of things he said, or you didn't like who he was or whatever, that's fine. But to be happy about any person to die, I mean, that's pretty shallow.
Yeah.
Just wish the man, you know, pray for him, pray for his family, and let that be that. But I do know, like, I was keeping up on a lot of the comments, and there was a lot of men that were lost in their life, and Kevin Samuels guided them with a lot of his podcasts. And a lot of them said, you know what, I straightened my life out because of this man, because of this particular podcast, of what he said. And there's even women that has even said the same thing.
Well, and I think you bring up a very interesting point, Robin, and I'm not one that's necessarily, you know, saying that Kevin Samuels was a role model or, you know, or a good role model or what have you. But I think it points out, like, you're really pointing out something that there's a void, and nobody likes to hear this. Well, a lot of people don't like to hear this conversation because you're talking about what men mean. With a lot of women, there's whole industries that are dedicated to uplifting women. There's a genre of self-help books and self-help websites and magazines and pro women this, uplift women that, and all that. And those are all, you know, good things. I'm not saying that it's not, but there's not a lot of things that reinforce men. And there's even less that reinforce Black men. And so I think what some Black men saw in Kevin Samuels was a reinforcement. Now, granted, that was a very imperfect reinforcement because I believe there were a lot of the things that he did say, like, I'm like, yo, dude, you tripping. So it's not, you know, I wasn't a fan of his, but I understand it. I get it. I understand why there were people who were fans. Part of it is because, like Dante mentioned, the entertainer aspect. I think people were entertained, and sometimes it was entertaining to just watch him go off on people. But I also think that because there's such a void of content in the popular culture that tries to reinforce men, and particularly reinforce Black men, that there are people who are looking for anything that even closely resembles that. So there are people who were gravitating towards this guy, even though some of the things that he said were problematic, because they're looking for something. Dante, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I think a lot of the people who you see, I don't want to say deified, but at least who maybe have take their admiration a little bit even for him, even further than we do, are Black men. Right. Because he was kind of saying some things that a lot of Black men maybe have wanted to say and couldn't, or, you know, just also then, like you said, kind of being an advocate. Right. That we don't really have them. Right. And so that's, yeah, I definitely agree. And I see and I understand why a lot of the people who I don't know how really to put them, because like you said, I wouldn't call myself a fan of his. But I respect a lot of the message. And it's just like, I think a lot of people maybe put him on a pedestal because maybe he is saying some things that they needed to hear. And if I don't care who it is, if somebody helped you through a dark place, I don't care what the rest of the world thinks about them. If that person helped you get to a better place, then, you know, you should immortalize them. You should really hold them in high esteem. So a lot of people who have gone through stuff and he's helped them, yeah, I mean, I see, at least just in my own personal life and what I see, you know, on the internet, it is oftentimes it is a lot of Black men that hold him in high esteem. And I think you laid out the reasons why.
All right. On that note, stay tuned. Tea Time with Rose coming up next here on the Outlaws.
Have you ever wondered what really goes on behind the scenes in the entertainment industry? Join me, Victoria Henley from Cycle 19 of America's Next Top Model, for an inside look at fashion shows, concerts, and a wide variety of events throughout the United States, featuring exclusive and insightful interviews with both seasoned and up-and-coming artists. Listen in and subscribe to Backstage Pass with Victoria, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Outlaws, and now's the time of the show that we like to call Tea Time with Bro.
Turn it up. I don't see no competition. The latest celebrity news and gossip. So you better ask permission. It's Tea Time with Ro on the Outlaws Radio Show. If you wanna roll
with me. All right, so on Tea Time, so I know how much y'all absolutely love this family. I know you love hearing about this family. I mean, they love to stay in the spotlight, all right? I mean, it's one story after the next with them. Like, really, we really should sit down and have a whole cup of tea, like, you know, the whole kettle and all, like, just for that family alone. But, so everybody knows how Kim Kardashian became famous, at least the most people know, if you know who Kim K is. So she became famous because of a sex tape years ago. Kim K, at the time, she was a nobody. You know, she was, you know, doing a regular job like each and every one of us. She was a nobody. Well, here comes Ray J, right? And her and Ray J, they make a sex tape. Well, all these years, it has been said that it was leaked. And they were saying that Ray J is the one who leaked the sex tape. Well, here's where the tea comes in. Ray J, Kim Kardashian, and Kim's mom, it was a business deal. They made the deal to make the sex tape. and put it out there as if it was leaked, and they ate off of his name all these years. And Ray J got sick of it, and he has finally spoke up.
So, first of all, this is what Ray J is alleging. It is still alleged. So we don't know if it's 100% true or not. But if it is, and you know, I'll proceed like that. If this is true, then that means her mother, that Kim Kardashian's mother, prostituted her own daughter. I don't know what other way that you can look at it than that. Like, that has to be the conclusion that you come to. Like, she prostituted her own daughter. That she's the family madam. Like, I don't know if there's anything, again, if this is true, there are few things that a parent can do that are, that would be more despicable than that. If this is true, and Ray J had made a deal with Kim's mother to release her daughter's sex tape for publicity and fame, that is absolutely disgusting to me. And I don't know if Kim knew about it, if she was in on it or what, but even if she was in on it and knew about it, you as the mom, you should know damn better. You should, I just can't imagine, again, if this is true, I can't imagine a parent being willing to prostitute their own kids. Dante.
So, quick point of order. Is prostitution the similar to porn? Like, is it prostituting if they're doing porn? Are and I know I don't want to upset the sex working community, because I know they get really sensitive about this. So please, I'm coming from a place of ignorance in regards of sex work. Are prostitutes and porn stars the same, right? Because technically you are having sex for money. If you're a prostitute, you're just doing it on camera. It's art. I don't know. That's just food for thought, right? Second,
I'm not going anywhere near that.
This family is full of weasels, man. Like, the whole time it was all built on a lie. The whole time, like, it didn't get leaked, and we probably should have knew that. Just based on like what they'll do for fame, it seems like, because you know they're not really talented, right? They don't sing, dance. They're not doctors, lawyers. You know, they're not super talented. They're just famous for sort of being famous, if that makes sense. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me, but it, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, man. That their entire family kind of weirds me out a little bit, not because, you know, they're bad people or anything, but just people that want to be famous so much, like people who love attention that much, kind of just, it just doesn't sit right with me, because that, I don't understand it. And so I'm not passing judgment. It's just like, I don't want to be naked on TV. I'm, you know, it's like, I think I'm an attractive guy, but it's like, I don't want to be, I don't want to have sex on camera. I just, not for the world, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where people like that just, I don't know, man. They kind of just creep me out a little bit. But yeah, we shouldn't be surprised.
Robin, close us out.
Yeah, I agree, Dante. I don't know how I would feel about a sex tape just being thrown out there. I mean, willingly, anyway. I definitely think that is a form of prostitution. And really, I mean, I guess I don't even know how old she was. So really, she'd be prostituting herself at the same point. But it sounds to me like the Kardashians have their own form of business. Like, they know how to do business. They know how to get their way. They're very good manipulators. they're very good at what they do, and they know how to get stuff done, in other words. But at the same point, like I said, in the very beginning of Tea Time, they stay in the news. So that right there should tell you something. Like, and anybody that really deals with the Kardashians, it seems like it kind of goes south. So,
all right. On that note, stay tuned. We have Dante's Hot Takes coming up next here on The Outlaws.
Yo, what's up? Bring the noise right here. Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. You are tuned in the Outlaws Radio Show.
Yeah, this is Chris Gotti, and you're listening to the number one radio show, The Outlaws. You heard me? Adventure Music supports Chris Gotti. Go check him out.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, comedian actress Coco Brown, and you're listening to The Outlaws Radio Show.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, SNMJT, and I'm with Outlaws.
I want to let y'all know about a new documentary that's coming out, produced by FCB Network. And it's about something that that a lot of us have talked about, especially when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement versus Black Lives Matter, the organization, specifically the global organization. Definitely want to check out this documentary. It's already got a few of the parts out already. So definitely check it out. And basically you can watch what happens as violence erupts and Black leaders who are trying to fix the issue run into roadblocks from those who want to profit from Black pain. So if you want to check that out, check out BLM Aftermath Cleveland. Search for BLM Aftermath Cleveland on YouTube, or you can go to BLMAftermath.com. That's BLMAftermath.com.
Welcome back to the Outlaw Radio Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Outlaws, and now's the time of the show that we'd like to call Dante's Hot Takes.
Telling the truth, whether you like it or not, is Dante's Hot Takes on The Outlaws Radio Show.
Okay, well, if you paid attention to anything this week, you know that a first draft, from Justice Alito in the Mississippi abortion case, which would essentially overturn Roe v. Wade, was leaked. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. We're not really going to discuss, you know, abortion as a principle. Is it right? Is it wrong? We would be here all night. And quite frankly, me and Darvio don't have the stomach to do that on the air. So, the leak is what bothers me. This wasn't just a sources say. This is the entire first draft of Justice Alito's opinion was sent to Politico and released in the middle of the night. And within an hour, there were protests at the Supreme Court. To me, it feels coordinated. It feels political. And I can't call it unprecedented because we've had leaks out of the Supreme Court. They've been few and far between, but there was, you know, a leak in 79. There was a leak in, I guess the most high profile one was in 2012 for the Obamacare individual mandate case. And a columnist for Forbes said that he had third-hand sources that they were going to strike down the mandate. And then Senator Patrick Leahy went on a long diatribe on the Senate floor about, you know, urging Justice Roberts to, you know, to rule the mandate constitutional. So that's, you know, kind of the biggest one that we've had in recent times. And the reason why this is such a big deal is for situations like that, the court is supposed to be impartial. It's supposed to be non-political. We know it isn't perfect, but it's really the most important branch because it really balances the other two branches, right? So the part that really frustrates me is, where do we go from here? We talked on the show a bunch about, okay, maybe this is now the new line that I don't know if you can cross that, right? We started with Trump, right? Like, oh, well, Trump, you know, he was kind of like the unicorn in politics. And then it's like, no, well, you know, what happened with the 2020 election and all that led up to it? Can we really go back to normal after that? And now this, which, and this is just an opinion, this was leaked to put pressure on Supreme Court justices, because in the first draft, five of the justices ruled, they've sided and voted with overturning Roe v. Wade, and it would not make abortion illegal. It would remove that burden from the federal government and place that in the hands of the states. And so state governments would essentially then have to decide what they wanted to do with abortion individually. We're not going to go down the legal rabbit hole, but that's what would happen. And to me, this feels like a coordinated political attempt by the left, justice speculation, to one, pressure the court, which is what shouldn't happen, right? It's not a legality that the Supreme Court has to operate in secrecy, but for their impartiality, we would hope that they do. And then the other part is, you know, Democrats, it doesn't look great for the midterms in November. Was this a tool to rally the base and get people out to vote? Darvio, you can answer that better than I could, but this, while not completely unprecedented, this is a whole new level for me. I mean, the whole entire draft, that had to come from one of the justices' offices, right?
It had to come from, like, there was only, I think, maybe 70 people total who would have had access to that. So there's an investigation now. The Chief Justice is really pissed off and is like, you know, we're going to find out who did this. They're determined to find out who did this. It is unfortunate that this thing leaked like this. I can't recall a time where an entire ruling was like you've had times where, you know, what direction the Supreme Court was going to go in on a particular issue leaked, but I can't recall any time where the entire draft opinion leaked. That reeks of sabotage. It's unfortunate that happened, and it's just one more norm when people claim to care about democratic norms so much. It's just one more norm that's been broken, and I don't know if you can put that toothpaste back in the tube. Let them know how to follow you, sir.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Taebrye, Taebrye.
Miss O'Malley?
You can follow me on Instagram at Real Robin O'Malley, and you can follow me on Twitter at Real Robin O.
And you can follow me at D Kingpin everywhere. That's DTHEKINGPIN. All right, we are out of here. We'll see you next time. Peace.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.